Me and this microphone are having issues, so let's just hope that it stays on my ear. I have tiny ears. So, my name is Jessica Dolan, not Jennifer Dolan, like Chuck said. For those of you who do not know me, my husband and I were a part of the team that came up here and launched this campus over 2 years ago. And when God called us to be a part of that team, I wasn't really sure what that would entail for us or what that would involve. I didn't know what he was going to ask us to do. I just knew that I was a really good hole filler, meaning I would jump in wherever he needed me to jump in. And one of those holes that he needed when we planted this church was a children's director. So myself and another one of the team members, we co-directed the kid zone here, and I was over preschool and the nursery side. And so I stayed in that position for about a year and a half, and it was challenging and rewarding. But then I decided that I was going to step down and move on, and I continued to serve here for about 6 months. And then God called me back to children's ministry, but he called me to West Liberty. So about 7 months ago, my husband and I returned to Quest West Liberty, where I became the children's director there, and I'm over birth through fifth grade. And, you know, it's been wild. It's not something that I would have chose, but he's really grown my heart for it. And he's blessed me and challenged me and stretched me. And it's been fun, though. And you know, one of the things about being in children's ministry, and I'm sure that your children's director, Ashley, would probably say the same thing and agree with me when I say that each week, those of us that are back there with the kids, we get a little glimpse of how they are growing in Jesus and how they are seeing him. And it's really awesome every week to be able to come in and to see that. You know, one thing that stands true whether here or at West Liberty is the kids are really into superheroes right now. They all can tell you what their favorite superhero is, whether it's Captain America or Batman, Spider-Man. They're really into it, and it's important stuff. I understand my husband is a comic book enthusiast, and I mixed up DC and Marvel one time, and I thought we were going to have to do, like, marriage counseling. It was really intense there for a while, but we're okay now. So I do understand the importance of these superheroes to the kids. But one really cool thing is these kids put Jesus as their superhero, and rightly they should. And while they can tell you what their favorite superhero is and what their strengths are, they can also tell you the weaknesses. But what's really neat is they already, even at age 3, 4, and 5, recognize that Jesus doesn't have those limitations and that Jesus can do whatever he wants to do. And so he's superior. And I just think that that is so cool and that they get it. And maybe they even get it on a deeper level than we get it as grown-ups. Last week, Chuck mentioned that Ashley had the kids make a prayer box here at Quest. And I think I might steal that idea for West Liberty, because what a good idea that is to have these kids put their prayers in there. Because if you want to see something amazing, listen to children pray. They have such a heart for Jesus. And, you know, it's interesting because I have heard kids pray about some interesting things. I remember one kid that prayed for a really long time about chickens. And while it was cute and adorable, I remember thinking, man, am I willing to go and pray about things like chickens to my Jesus? Am I willing to go before him and just pour out my heart the way that a child would? And so I think that as I get older and stuff and I become a grown-up and I get all caught up in grown-up stuff, it's good for me. And maybe that's why he keeps me in children's ministry right now. Maybe I personally need that reminder that even though I'm a grown-up, I can go to Jesus just the way that a child does. And, you know, these kids, they recognize already their importance to Jesus. They recognize at these young, tender ages that they're important to him and that he values them. And somewhere as we get older, at least for me, I think, have I forgot that? Have I forgot how important I am to Jesus and how much he values me? And he teaches about that. He teaches about us coming to him like children. And in the book of Matthew, it's also in Luke and in Mark, there's an account where the disciples are traveling with Jesus along the road, and they're arguing. They're arguing amongst themselves, and Mark actually expands on this a little bit and tells us that Jesus overhears them arguing, and when they get to their destination, he calls them on it, because he's Jesus. He's like, why are you guys arguing? So now they're forced to kind of tell him why they're arguing. So Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 starts out with, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, sometimes we might be hard on the disciples. How could they be arguing when they are with Jesus? They're with the king. But a lot's happened leading up to this. You know, they've witnessed him doing miracles, healings, casting out demons. John and Peter and James, they got chosen by Jesus to go up on the mountain and witness the transfiguration, and they got to see Jesus for who he is. And so I can see how they might get a little big for their britches here, you know? And even though he's told them about his upcoming death and the things that are going to happen, they are still focused on his kingdom being earthly. They have not connected the dots yet. His kingdom is going to be eternal. So they essentially want to know, you know, who's going to be your favorite person, Jesus? Who's going to be your right-hand man here on your kingdom at earth? Jesus, being the master teacher, he calls this child over into the midst of the group. Just him doing that alone spoke volumes to people. Children, especially at this time, were lowly. They didn't have any rights. They were weak. They were defenseless. They were not considered to add any value to any adult happenings or conversations. So him being the master object lesson teacher, kids ministry, we love object lessons. You know, him just calling the child over spoke volumes to them and was very powerful. And so now he's got their attention and he has this child with him and he tells them that they must become like little children. He doesn't tell them to be little children. He tells them to become like little children. He wants them to change their perspective. When I was pregnant with my firstborn, Caleb, I didn't know anything about being a mom. I didn't know anything about babies or taking care of them, toddlers. I still really don't know anything. Just flying by the seat of my pants like most parents do. But I'm a researcher by nature, so I began to read as many parenting books as I could possibly get my hands on. So the What to Expect When You're Expecting books, they served me really well at that time in my life. And I remember reading about how when your kids become mobile, you should get down on the ground and you should crawl around your house and look for hazards. And I thought, this is ridiculous. This is silly. I'm a grown-up. I'm not going to get down on my hands and knees and crawl around the house. I can perfectly see from up here what could possibly harm my child. And so as Caleb became mobile, I waited one day until my husband went to work, and I got down on my hands and knees, and I crawled around my house. And I realized what a death trap we were living in at that level, and how I couldn't see things from that perspective that could hurt him. And so I had to get down. I had to become like my child to see what he's seen. I had to change my perspective. Jesus doesn't call us to be children, but to become like children. That means he wants all those good childlike qualities. You know, there's a difference between being childlike and childish. Childlike is endearing, and it's sweet, and it's loving. You know, as a parent or grandparent, there's no sweeter words than your kids wanting to snuggle you. My daughter is almost 3, and she's perfected the art of coming up to me and saying, Mama, snuggle you, snuggle you. And then I just love that. And then, of course, my son wants to come and snuggle me, and we have this sweet moment where everybody wants to snuggle me. But what you don't know is apparently there is a prime snuggle spot on me, and everybody begins to fight for it. And next thing you know, arms are flailing, legs are flailing, there's lots of tears, and that's usually just for me. But they are fighting and arguing, and what was this endearing moment with my kids then turns into selfishness and anger and them looking out for what's best for them. And that's what the disciples were doing. They were looking to elevate themselves. They were tapped into that childish side of them rather than the childlike side that Jesus wants us to be like. So what does that look like then? What does childlike faith look like? Well, it's trusting. When children are in an environment where they are cared for and loved and they know that they're safe, they just naturally trust you. They don't even think about it. When they have a need, they know exactly who to go for to get that need met. They don't even think about it. It's just their nature. And as we grow up and as we face life, I'm sure many of us have faced disappointments, betrayal, people breaking our trust. It's just a part of life, right? And we have to learn how to go through those challenges because we're human and people are going to disappoint us and we're going to disappoint people, you know? It's just the way it is. And for me, I have to be careful that I don't take those circumstances and transfer that onto my relationship with Jesus. That's a real challenge for me. I have to remind myself that I can trust God just like a child trusts their parent and that I can run to him. Nobody knows the sting of betrayal more than Jesus. He was betrayed by one of his closest friends, a betrayal that led not only to public humiliation and physical beating, but ultimately death by crucifixion. And throughout his whole time of enduring all that, he was still able to rely on God and to trust in God. Psalm 28:7 tells us, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song, I praise him." I think that that is one of the most beautiful verses about childlike faith. The Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusts in him, and he helps me. Because we know when we trust him as a father, like we should, that he's going to protect us. He knows what's best for us, and he's going to guide us and lead us and help us. And we can have our hearts leap for joy while we praise him through all the circumstances. Childlike faith is bold. You don't have to spend much time with kids to see that they are willing to tell you about anything and everything that they love, whether it's marshmallows or bubbles or their best friend at school. They have no shame. They are not afraid. They're not worried about if they're going to bore you, if you're going to think they're cool or not. They just want to share with you what they love. They don't bat an eye. One of the first lessons that I remember doing here at Indian Lake when we first planted was in the pre-K room, and we took all the kids and we gave them each 1 minute to talk to the whole class about anything that they wanted to. There was a lot of video games and Mario and superheroes, which is what they talked about, and they had no problem doing it. Then I challenged them for 1 minute to talk to the whole class about Jesus. And you know, me being a grown-up, I thought, this will be hard for them because it's hard for me. It's going to be hard for them, right? Man, I had to cut these kids off. They had so much to say about Jesus, and they just wanted to keep talking and talking and talking. They talked about Jesus more than they did their other things. And I just thought, man, that boldness. Like, how many times do you look for the opportunity to spend 60 seconds talking with people that cross your paths about Jesus? Could you even do that? You know, that boldness that comes from them, that encourages me and it challenges me to be like them. 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Sorry, introverts, this is not a personality thing. Whether you're outgoing or introverted, extroverted, the power comes from God to be bold. He is not going to call us to go out and make disciples of all nations, to go out and proclaim his name without equipping us with the ability to do it. And it's not shoving it down people's throats. It's not backing them into a corner and thumping them with a Bible. It's about being real and authentic and just telling people about this love for Jesus that we have and how he saved us and looking for those opportunities where he opens up a door for us to share it with them. But that gives me comfort because I know that the Spirit of God is not going to make me timid. It's going to make me bold. And it doesn't mean it's always going to be pretty. I am the queen of awkwardness, and there have been plenty of times I've talked about Jesus where it has just been plain downright awkward. But I think he honors that when we step out in that faith and that boldness for him. Childlike faith is teachable. From the moment we are born, we are constantly in that state of learning. We are learning how to walk, talk, feed ourselves. Later on, we learn how to drive, get jobs, pay bills, be grown-ups. It's not really all it's cracked up to be sometimes. But we're always learning, and our faith journey, it should be the same way. We We want to always be in that continual state of learning. And so I constantly think, am I taking my questions to the Word? Am I hunting down answers in the Bible? Are we spending time with other believers? Small groups. Oh, small groups are so good, guys. You guys can get together and just, I have grown so much through small groups, being able to ask questions, because if you have a question, chances are somebody else is going to have the same question. Pastor Bill is down at Quest West Liberty, and when we started coming there, he's still the pastor, and 6 years ago, God kind of scooped up my whole family, and we gave our lives to Christ, and one of the first things that we did was we began to meet with him on a weekly basis for 2 hours a Sunday, and every Sunday, I would come in, and I would have a whole sheet of paper of questions, and I would just hammer him with questions. I would just, I mean, almost in a challenging, probably maybe a little bit disrespectful way, but I just really wanted answers, and he did not have all the answers to all my questions, but he helped me find the answers that he could, and then he was okay with saying he didn't have the answers, and that's how kids are. If you ever notice, kids don't have to have everything figured out to support what they believe in and to talk about it. They're okay with that. So while it's good for us to hunt down those answers, it's okay that we don't know all the mysteries of Christ. We are not meant to know all the mysteries, but that doesn't mean we can't go out and share him with others. C.S. Lewis says, Christ wants a child's heart, but a grown-up's head. He wants us to be simple, single-minded, affectionate, and teachable as good children are. But he also wants every bit of intelligence we have to be alert at its job and in first-class fighting trim. Child's heart, but a grown-up's head. Sometimes we take that term, childlike faith, and we water it down and think what that means. Just believe. Don't ask any questions. Have you ever met a child that didn't ask questions? They ask questions. That's how they learn, and that's how we learn. Childlike faith, it's joyful. Children are marked by joy. It rained really heavy yesterday, and I was going into the West Liberty campus at that time, and as I'm like running as fast as I can to get inside because I don't want to be drenched, all I could think about was, man, my kids would love to be out here playing. They would take such joy in playing in the rain because kids find joy in just the small, simple things in life. They are content with those small things, and they are content with just being in the presence of those that they know and that love them. And there's a verse in Psalm 16, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Fill me with joy in your presence. See, when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are then, we get personal access to this unending well of joy that comes solely from being in the presence of our Lord and Savior. And that joy is not dependent on circumstances because, let's face it, sometimes life sucks. You know, circumstances suck. Things get hard. But our joy comes from knowing that we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior and that we are spending time in his presence and he makes known to us the path of life. Childlike faith is humble. Humility goes hand in hand with our salvation. We need to come to Jesus humbly, just like children are. They're meek, they're mild, sometimes. They're proud. They're not proud. They're not arrogant. They haven't yet been jaded by all the curveballs that life is going to throw at us. And they know how to rely on their caretakers and their parents and the people that care for them. So when we come before Jesus and we humble ourselves, I mean really humble ourselves and be willing to look at ourselves with honest eyes and realize just how broken we are, and how in need we are of him. We cannot fix ourselves. We need him to save us. When we're able to do that, we then get to trade that ugly word, sin, and all that stuff. We get to trade it for the gift of grace that God offers us through what Jesus Christ did. When's the last time you gave a child a gift? Have you seen a child receive a gift? How do they receive it? They're excited. are willing to take it. They don't try to give it back. I've never seen that happen. They're ready to tear it open and get into it and see what all kinds of mess they can get into or what kind of fun they're going to have with it. They receive it willingly, excitedly. And so I even look at myself and I think, am I really taking advantage of what Jesus offers? Am I really accepting it for all that he wants me to and to do with it? This might be my favorite verse in the entire Bible, John 3:30. It's short, it's sweet, it's to the point, and most importantly, it puts me in my place. And I need that more often than I'd like to admit. He must become greater. I must become less. And that is what it boils down to. He must become greater, and we must become less. We must be willing to take that lower position so that he can be exalted and in his rightful place. Humility is a close friend of service, and what happens when he becomes greater and we become less is you will see that pour out in our service to others. The disciples were very concerned with what was going on with them and what they were going to get out of it and what kind of treasures they were going to store up. But when he becomes greater and we become less, it pours out in service to others. We then become more worried about who's sitting next to us and how we can pour into them than how we can get what we want. And we begin to serve in the way that Jesus served. And I think that that's kind of what he's driving at and what he wants to kind of make sure that we understand. Because he closes with, therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. The lowly position, the position of becoming less and him becoming more. That lowly position of relying and trusting on somebody else to care for our needs, to have the plan. You guys are in a transition stage right now here. We've been praying for you guys, and I'm confident that God has a plan. And now's the time to trust that that plan is in place, even if we don't know what that plan is. We may not be privy to the details of that right now. Jesus tells us that the least then become the first. Those who take the lowly position are the ones that are going to inherit the kingdom of God and spend eternity with him. And there's no greater prize than that. That's what life is about. That's what we're striving for, right? Calls us to come to him just as the child does. And that's why throughout the Bible, he refers to us as his children, because he adopts us into his family, and he then becomes our father. So as we close today, I just have a few questions for you to maybe think about and ponder this week. Is my faith childlike? As you go through your week, do you see yourself coming to God just as a child would? And if maybe you don't know what that looks like, try and find some kids that are having their good moments, not the childish ones, and look at them and see how they respond to their parents. But is your faith childlike? Are you looking at Jesus with the same awe and wonder that children look at him? Are you like the disciples? And myself, I'm in this category. Do you need to change your perspective? Do you need to look through it with a different lens? Maybe get rid of some of those childish habits or tendencies. I'm in the same boat with you guys. Open yourselves up to some prayer. Pray and ask him to show you. He will reveal to you what he wants you to do. And also, just be intentional this week as you go about your days. Look for those moments where you can call on the power of God to be bold and to share him. And I just would encourage you this week with every situation, whether it's exciting, it's mundane, it's normal, it's new, that you would just look for God in each and every moment and experience him the way that he wants you to as a child of God. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this time up here and for all the people. And Lord, I pray that as they go about their week, you would bless them, that you would show them that you are there with them, that you see them, and Lord, that you're walking along beside them. I pray, Father, for each one of us to remember that even though we are grown-ups, we get to still run into your arms, throw ourselves into them, and hug you just as the Father that you are. I pray, Lord, for this church
all that they are doing in your name, and that you would bless them and their time together, and that your will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen.